Hello, and welcome to the Science Bloggers Podcast. Today, my guest is Vinny Baikowski, a physicist whose love for science and science history has led him to pursue the exciting world of science tourism. During our talk, Vinny talks about Europe's science history and explains why this is important to the world, and how science tourism is an effective tool for science communication. Hi, Vinny, how are you?
Hi, David. I'm fine. Thank you. It's nice to hear you.
Same here. So, why don't you tell our listeners something about yourself and your blog? What are you trying to do?
I am originally an astrophysicist. I studied astrophysics in Poland. And my wife is still working in science as an astrophysicist, so I have very close ties to science. But I also love traveling. It's like another way of exploring, getting to know about our world. And yeah, some time ago came to my mind the idea to mix tourism and traveling. I started it a couple of years ago with the journal for the Polish Astronomical Society. So I am a columnist there, but it's obviously in Polish. And yeah, recently, like in April, I started also to write in English for a bit wider public. So I hope many people will learn something interesting from those texts.
So is science tourism a big industry in Europe?
No, not really. So there is a lot of interesting sites in Europe. First of all, you have a lot of history because, the scientific revolution happened here, yes? So if you think about most of great minds of scientific history in last centuries, you mostly think about the people that lived in Europe. And this is about, Copernicus, Galileo, Marie Curie Skłodowska or Einstein, Heisenberg and many, many others, Newton. So there is a lot of people from the history, and there is a lot of like museums or interesting sites linked to those people. There is more and more open science, like places like scientific centers where parents can come with kids and do some funny experiments, or like scientific laboratories, institutions that one can visit, like the most recognized, I believe, laboratory in the world, CERN, in the Swiss-French border in Geneva. It's open to the public, so tourists can just come and visit it. The difference is, though, that, except maybe CERN, I do not know about any place where tourists just go there because they want to know something, yeah? Mostly this is because they are on holidays, let's say, in Florence, and then they realize, here we have Galileo Museum, so, let's check it out, I'm trying to promote also the idea that, well, when you go and travel to Europe, but not necessarily only to Europe, you can have a lot of fun, like in standard traveling. So enjoy the cuisine, enjoy the landscapes, the nature, the culture, but also you can follow a theme. So you can make a great tour, for example, on the steps of, let's say, Albert Einstein, because he was born in southern Germany and in a picturesque town of Ulm, and then he moved to Munich and then Zurich, Bern, Prague, Berlin, Potsdam. All those places have a lot of history, are very, very interesting, and most of them has some reminders of this guy, and it can be repeated with, let's say, Maria Curie Skłodowska, the most famous female scientist of all times, you go just to Warsaw and Paris, and then you have a lot of like great science, history, but also culture around it. Scientists are not people that live in vacuums separated by walls from the society. They are part of the society. So like discover. I think this is also a great thing, discovering the feeling of the place where someone was sitting and discovering some ideas, you know, because the ideas come not from vacuum, but from concrete table environment. And as an example, I can give you the city of Lviv in Western Ukraine, which is a very beautiful UNESCO World Heritage Site, where scientists from local university in like 1920s and 1930s were going to one cafe and writing down their theories down on like tissues and so on. So they were making like great discoveries in logic of those times, the discoveries that are basically that helped to develop nuclear science or computer science. It was developed in a cafes, you know, during talks with cafe, vodka or wine somewhere in an old town of Lviv. So I think this is very fascinating, and this is one of the things I want to say to the people, you know. Science is part of wider culture, so when you travel to see beautiful sight or so, you can also learn something interesting.
I agree with you. So what type of services do you offer for visitors, for tourists?
Yeah, so aside of my science blogging, I run a small company. So I offer people city walks. Currently in the city of Munich, but also in some other cities, I'm capable of doing it. So as a student, it was my like side job on tour guide. And yeah, I decided to show the people that look here, there is also a lot of interesting history. Munich is the biggest scientific center in whole Germany. And as you can understand, Germany is one of the scientific powerhouses. So there is really a lot of things to say about this city, and it has like 700 years of history. So if you heard about Occam Razor, so the guy called Occam spent last 20 years of his life exactly here in Munich, and this is basically how science in this city began. And then of course we had a lot of other famous intellectuals, including Einstein. Nowadays, there are headquarters, there is whole scientific city northeast from the Munich borders. It's called Garching, where you have a nuclear reactor. It's possible to visit it, actually. You have also headquarters of European Southern Observatory, so the biggest and probably the most known astronomical observatory in the world. They opened recently their visitor center, which is awesome, and so on. And then also I offer people like multi-day tours where we travel and discover together some interesting areas in science. So like in 2 weeks, I am organizing a biking tour with a group of people along the Baltic Sea coast in Germany and Poland. Where you can visit a lot of sites related to science, like there is Telerator, so a form of accelerator, one of the most modern scientific laboratories in the world, as well as sites from World War II, you know, like the rocket building, so where Werner von Braun was working, the same guy who later built the rockets for NASA. And you have three national parks and a lot of science behind it, you know, like nature and so on. And also, you know, I'm here alone in this work, so I offer also like programs. So if you say you want to visit Europe, yeah, David, and tell me that this is your starting point, your end point, and you want to have some nice travel and add to it some science or so. I can prepare this for you, you know, because you don't have to know every language in Europe and so on. I know 8 languages, so it's kind of easier for me to search for data. I also traveled across all Europe. I visit most of European countries. So yeah, so this is basically what I do.
Sounds like you're primarily based in Germany, right?
Yeah, at this moment I am living in Germany, but like in general, I'm focusing currently on Europe.
Because that's what I was going to ask, is are you going to focus on the entirety of Europe, or are you just going to be based in Germany?
So, yeah, Europe. Well, of course, I am at this moment alone. Maybe in the future, I hope in the future it could grow up, this whole project. But yeah, I'm one person, so I'm kind of limited sometimes in space and time. But in general, my focus is on whole Europe.
I see. That sounds cool. So are you planning to expand and grow in the future into other countries, like have other tour guides looking for you?
So my dream is to, of course, develop this idea and be like pioneer in this more organized science tourism industry. It's not that I am the only person that does such things, because there exists something like educational tourism and so on. So, but it's very in very nascent form, I would say. There is really a lot of sites that are amazing in terms of science. Just to mention the United States. Just to mention the Atacama Desert in Chile, where there is a lot of scientific facilities, the South Africa and Australia. So there is a lot of places where the science exists and has a lot of interesting sites to offer. But also there is another aspect, you know, science and knowledge is not limited to modern science, yes, and philosophies, natural philosophies were evolving all across the world. So they are places that fascinate me, and they are outside of Europe. So I hope in some future I would be able also to go there and see like Central Asia with their historic Islamic scientific architecture, you know. Maybe you heard about the city of Samarkand in Uzbekistan with an astronomical observatory from 14th century, or maybe some other places that are linked to history of science in across Asia, Africa, and other parts of the world. But this is just theorizing about the future. At the moment, I have to focus on one area, one thing. Yes, so this is why.
So when you do tours in Germany, do you focus on any particular period, or do you just look at the entire history as you go through the city?
Both. My idea is that you cannot ignore, like you have like main team, let's say, yeah, science of Albert Einstein. But you cannot ignore that there is also the past nearby. Yeah, so if there is someone visiting me and he's for the first time in this area, I am mentioning also some other things. So you have the main team, but also some side notes, let's call it this way. But my main focus is the modern and early modern science. Yes, so starting with Copernicus and medieval university, because, well, Copernicus is in fact his ideas started all the scientific revolution, but he was firmly grounded still in medieval science. Or medieval natural philosophy is, I guess, more proper term. And yeah, everything what's afterwards. So, you know, Galileo, Tycho Brahe, Kepler, Pascal, Descartes, Lagrange, Curie Skłodowska, and Heisenberg, and many, many, many others.
Right. Yeah, so what got you so interested in science history? Were you always fascinated by the subject?
It's a very complex question, actually, because I don't have a simple answer to it. So my father, or in general my family, I come from an artist's family. So my father is the only person that still works as an artist, yeah, but I'm the only person from my family who did not finish an artistic school. So there was a lot of books in my home about history of art, but also history in general, and partially history of science too. So by reading this, I got just fascinated by history in general. But at some point, I realized that history is often misused or misrepresented in our society, and it's very, very complex topic. But also I got some attention by the natural world around us, you know, math, physics, biology, and so on. So I started to read and read more and more about those issues. There was one book in particular that caught my attention. It was a book of the most famous modern Polish cosmologist, Michał Heller. He wrote a book about history of cosmology. And like with this book, I, for the first time, I believe, discovered how interesting maybe the history of science. But then I read also like book of the Thomas S. Kuhn. So I believe to the English speaking or at least American audience, it's a bit more known person. He wrote the book about the theory of scientific revolutions, but also about the Copernican revolution. And the third book that really, really caught my attention on history of science was the book of Edward Grant, who wrote a book about the like foundations of modern science in medieval university. I do not know the proper English title of this book. But with those books, I started to understand like how interesting the topic is, how complex it is, how open still a lot of questions is. And also that still we believe in a lot of stereotypes, a lot of things that are just approximations or even falsehoods from the past, just we believe them because we are used to believe them, you know. So this caught my attention. And later when I studied astrophysics, you know, it not died out because my university is kind of historic university. There is like in our university, there's, for example, Henry Draper telescope. A telescope that was pretty important in history of astrophysics, astronomy. Like if you heard about Henry Draper catalog of stars, like every close star to air to our planet has this HD at the beginning. It comes from this guy and this telescope. So I took part in some actions regarding these telescopes and basically promoting science at the university, at the observatory. So yeah, this is how it all started to evolve, I would say. But of course, I could talk about it for a long time, maybe.
It sounds like, you know, a fascinating subject to be interested in. You know, I'm sure living in Germany, you know, it's all around you. Because if I remember, you know, if I'm getting the history correct, you know, from the 1900s or probably, you know, a few years before, you know, Germany was like the powerhouse of the scientific world, right? I mean, and German was the language of science. It's not like English is the language of science today, right?
Yes, it's true. So, like, Germany, like, I read once a pretty intriguing scientific report about history of university in 19th century, because universities were modernized in 19th century by Humboldt in Berlin. So the Humboldt University in Berlin may be considered to be the first modern scientific university in the world. So in late 1900s and early, in late 1800s and early 1900s, the position of Germany was incredible in the global science. So if someone would make ranking of best universities, 8 of 10 best universities in the world would be in Germany. Basically, Germany dominated science in this time in a scale incomparable with modern world. It's like science of the US and Europe combined. It was so strong in those times. So yes, there is a lot of interesting sites all around Germany, but also Central Europe, I would say. Let's not forget that, although Germany was the strongest one, there was a lot of interesting sites also outside of German-speaking world.
What are the interesting sites do you like to focus on?
Of course, due to my interest in astrophysics, I am really into everything what's connected to astronomy. So just to give you an example, near Copenhagen, there is a small island where Tycho Brahe created his astronomical observatory. He called the island the Kingdom of Urania, and Urania in ancient Greek mythology was the goddess of astronomy, so it meant that he created a kingdom of astronomy, and the capital of this kingdom was his castle and observatory called the Castle of Stars. The Castle of Astronomy and the Observatory of Stars, the site of stars. So it's really like fascinating, intriguing. In the Alps, you have beautiful telescopes that maybe are not today the best scientific instruments in the world, although they are still used in science, because not every scientific topic requires the best and the most modern telescopes. In Germany, in Poland, in Italy, or in Spain, you have very nice radio telescopes. So this is one thing. But then there are other things. So first of all, not every discipline has some spectacular instruments. Yes. So let's say astronomy or particle physics have amazing instruments like CERN. But I think we should realize that there is a lot of science all around us, and nature is an amazing example, as well as engineering. Yes. So so this is why I like many national parks and similar institutions, because, well, we often treat them as a kind of educational institution as well as a recreational place, yes. But most of them, they are also sites of interesting research sites, yes. So, for example, on the border between Germany and Czech Republic, there is a national park where we have now the biggest rewilding experiment in Europe and possibly in the world. When a couple decades ago came a hurricane that destroyed a big part of a forest, and scientists decided to leave this as an experiment of rewilding Europe, rewilding forests in Europe, to see how it works exactly in detail. And this is really amazing site to go and to visit. They have a lot of fascinating geological sites. You know, a lot of knowledge about dinosaurs, about like early mammals and other places, started here in Europe as well. So you have such sites, and some of them are even listed as World Heritage UNESCO, where you can see the paleontology in detail. And maybe last example I can give, so archaeology we do not think often as a true science, but it employs a lot of methods of science. And in Poland, in town of Poznań, there is a hole that was made by archaeologists during the archaeological excavations, and someone decided to just keep this hole, just put a roof above it, and show to the people how archaeology works. And this is also fascinating, you know, where you can see the layer firsthand, how it works, why archaeologists think this is so and so and so on. So the possibilities of discovering the world, perspectives of getting interested in about the world around us are nearly unlimited, I would say.
So of the many laboratories in Europe, are part of your tour, they are active in that there's active research taking place. So many of these institutions open to having tour guides show the public, you know, what they're working on, or is it just...
Yes, a lot of institutions are open to the public, but it's not openly advertised. So you have to search for it. And sometimes it's even there is no open information in English about it. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So most of the people is not aware that in Munich, you can visit scientific nuclear reactor, or that you can visit some other laboratories or institutions. Even private companies sometimes offer visits in their laboratories, like Roche, you know, a famous pharmaceutical company. So also the thing is that a lot of people, when they think about science and tourism, they focus mostly on the youngest, and this is really important. But and I believe school groups are very important, that they visit such such places, because it can inspire some people just to follow and maybe have a brilliant career in science and have some breakthrough. But I think we should not limit this to the school groups. Also, other people may be interested. Like, I believe curiosity is part of our human nature, regardless if you are 5, 15, 25, or 55 years, or 105 years old. So they are often open. You can visit them, but there is scarce information. Maybe a part place like CERN, which is widely advertised.
I think we may have the same problem here in the US, in that, you know, many of these laboratories, they are open to the public, but they don't say it on their website. So I think, you know, it's important that, at least with what you're doing, that people know that, hey, you can go in this, we can organize a tour for you, and, you know, you can see what's happening inside.
Yeah, sure.
So is there anything else you'd like to say about what your plans are for any history?
Well, my plans are now to develop this idea, so develop the blog to get to the as many people as possible, you know, that they know that it is possible, it is doable, it is interesting. And also to develop this company side. But yeah, we will see what the future will bring, you know. So the idea, I think, sounds interesting. I have a lot of positive feedback and support from my friends, family. But not everything depends only on yourself. You need also a bit of good contacts, people on your way, you know, so you meet the right people in the right time.
Yes.
And if everything will work out, I just hope this idea will be more and more known around. So yeah, we will have wiser societies, more open on scientific argumentation and so on, because yeah, we can see how fragile is the position of science in our societies. And I think this is one of the ideas of thoughts that motivate myself, yes, to promote discovering science and knowledge around us.
Yeah, you know, I hope it works out. I mean, as a bit of a science nerd myself, you know, I think this is something that's exciting. If I'm ever in Germany or in Europe, I'd definitely contact you and organize a tour. You know,
sure.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, to me it sounds exciting, and I hope many people will agree with me.
Well, I'm sure they will. Hopefully everyone listening to this, you know, will be interested. So I learned a lot, and thank you for talking with me.
No problem.
That was Vinnie Bykowski. If you'd like to learn more about science tourism or the science history of Europe, you should check out Vinnie's blog, or you can contact him and arrange a tour. The links are in the show notes. The Science Bloggers is a community of science bloggers, YouTubers, and podcasters. If you're a science communicator, you should check out our Facebook group. If you're a fan of science blogs and science content, feel free to check out our Facebook page. I'm your host, David Latchman, and I would like to thank you for joining us. If you liked this episode, please consider subscribing or leaving a comment below. Tell us what you think and what you'd like to see in future episodes. And I hope to see you next week when we talk to a new science communicator.